opportunity to prepare our hearts for this 21-day season of prayer and fasting that begins tomorrow. And I want to do that by reading through several passages in the scripture. And I want to challenge you, as I read through these, try to pick out a theme. There is a theme that runs through every one of these scriptures, and I want you to try to find that as I read them. Here's the first one. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said this in Matthew 5, verse 6, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." Some versions say they shall be filled. And then after he miraculously feeds multiplied bread, he supernaturally multiplied the loaves and the fish, feeding the hungry multitude. We know it as the feeding of the 5,000. Right after that miracle, Jesus says this in John 6, 27. "Don't be so concerned about perishable things like food. Spend your energy seeking the eternal life that the Son of Man can give you." In other words, let your hunger and cravings be focused more on spiritual and eternal things rather than perishable things. And the psalmist says in Psalm 42, verse 1, "As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God." And then in Psalm 63, he writes, "O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water." Psalm 107, verse 9, "For he satisfies the longing soul, and the hungry soul he fills with good things." Psalm 143, verse 6, "I stretch out my hands to you. My soul thirsts for you like a parched land." And then Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah says in Isaiah 26, verse 9, "My soul yearns for you. My spirit within me earnestly seeks you." And in the very last chapter of the Bible, Jesus says this, Revelation 22, 17, "Let anyone who is thirsty come. Let anyone who desires drink freely from the water of life." And every one of these passages, you can see and sense deep spiritual longing. There is a need and desire to know God and experience Him in deeper ways. And that spiritual longing in all of these verses is always described in the terms of hunger and thirst. Over and over again in the scripture, all through the Psalms, all through the prophets, and in the teachings of Jesus, our natural hunger for food and our natural thirst for water becomes the metaphor used to describe spiritual longing. As I prayed about what I would share on this first Sunday of 2024, the Lord placed a specific group of people on my heart. While the next few moments are going to be relevant to every one of us, this message is going to resonate immediately with a target audience. I'm speaking directly to those of you who know it's a good thing to long for God, like the psalmist and the prophets. As Jesus teaches, you genuinely want a deeper hunger and thirst for God, but it's just not there. You genuinely want to awaken your spiritual affections and increase your spiritual hunger, but you don't know how. So what do you do when you don't desire God like you know you should? You want to, but it's not like you can walk over the wall and flip the desire switch and all of a sudden desire comes on or kicks in like the lights. So how is a person supposed to ignite spiritual passion when it's missing? If you're in that space today, God has really put you on my heart. And I'll tell you, there are no immediate quick fixes. But the first of the year is the perfect time to be asking those questions. And I want to help you by drawing from some of the things I've learned when I found myself in the exact same situation. And it might come as a surprise to you, but pastors are real people too. And our spiritual passions are not always red hot. Our spiritual hunger ebbs and flows just like anybody else's. And today I want to share with you several things that have helped me when it feels like my spiritual passion is low or it has leaked or totally gone missing. Here's the first thing you need to do. You need to ask God for it. Now that may sound overly simplistic, but the first thing you need to do if you've lost your spiritual desire or hunger and you want it back, you need to stop what you're doing and you need to pray. You need to ask God to increase your spiritual hunger, to give you spiritual desire. And when I'm in that place, this is the way I pray every time. I pray this: Lord, please reawaken my spiritual affections. I don't know why, but that phrase, reawaken my spiritual affections, has helped me. It just helps me think of my heart coming alive. And I use that terminology when I'm in that place. Soften my heart toward the things of God. Turn my heart of stone into a heart of flesh. That's biblical language. Increase my yearning and longing for eternal things over temporary things. And there are times, those are my words, but there are times when my words are not working or they seem to fall short. And when they do, I pray a prayer that A.W. Tozer, a pastor and author from a generation or two ago, A.W. Tozer wrote this prayer in one of his books, and I've made it, I use it. And here it goes like this: Oh God, I have tasted thy goodness, and it has both satisfied me and made me thirsty for more. I am painfully conscious of my need for further grace. I am ashamed of my lack of desire. Oh God, triune God, I want to want thee. I long to be filled with longing. I thirst to be made more thirsty still. Show me thy glory, I pray thee, so that I may know thee indeed. Begin in mercy a new work of love within me. Say to my soul, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Then give me grace to rise and follow thee up from this misty lowland where I have wandered so long. If you're in that place, you've lost your spiritual passion, and you can't come up with your own words, borrow from Tozer. I have. I've prayed that prayer so many times. And you know why praying this way is so important when you've lost your spiritual desire? Because spiritual desire is not something you can manufacture on your own. You can grit and claw and discipline your way into doing certain religious things, but you and your discipline can't make your heart come alive. The Spirit of God has to move on your heart. God is constantly pursuing you even when you don't realize it. And when you stop to pray and ask God to reawaken your spiritual passions, for your passion to be reignited, it makes you more aware of God's loving pursuit. He's very interested in you, even when you've been uninterested in him. Jesus said this: You didn't choose me, I chose you. His desire for you is far greater than your desire for him will ever be. But when you stop to pray for more spiritual hunger, it makes you intellectually, emotionally, and spiritually aware of his pursuing love. And that awareness will start opening your eyes and melting your heart. Listen to what Jesus says about seeking him, John 6:44. For no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them to me. God has to do the wooing. God has to do the drawing. God in his sovereign grace has to initiate it. He has to draw you and reawaken your heart. The Holy Spirit has to move upon you to supernaturally open the eyes of your heart, melt your heart of stone, and give you a heart of flesh. So what do? When you don't desire God like you know you should? You pray, and you ask God to move on your heart to give you a deeper spiritual hunger. That's the first thing. If you've lost your spiritual passion, you need to ask God for it. Now, the second thing is going to sound a lot like a contradiction, but it's not. If we stop the sermon right now, and that was the only point of the sermon, it would sound like all I need to do if I've lost my spiritual passion is pray and wait on the Holy Spirit to move on my heart. I can't really do anything but pray, wait on the Holy Spirit to move on my heart. But that's not true. As important as prayer is in reigniting your spiritual passion, that doesn't mean you don't have a part to play. If you want to reawaken your spiritual hunger, you need to take action. Number two, take action. You can't just sit around and wait on God to move on your heart. I promise he's always moving. He's always pursuing your heart, but we are distracted and we have this disinterest, so much so many of us have become numb to the presence of God. And if we want to experience him again and genuinely long for him again, we're going to have to take action. There's an old saying that goes like this: You are more likely to act yourself into a feeling than you are to feel yourself into an action. For example, the Bible tells us to serve the poor. It tells us to take care of the widow, take care of the orphan. And far too many people wait around to get the warm fuzzies and get stirred emotionally before they ever act to serve the poor or care for the widow or care for the orphan. And if you sit around and wait on a feeling, you'll probably never do anything. But if you act on what you know to be right, the feelings will eventually follow your actions. Go serve in a homeless shelter. And when you do, if you sit down at the table, you have a conversation with these people, all of a sudden, instead of seeing homelessness as an issue, you will start seeing the humanity in it. These are real people with real stories that somebody's son or daughter, father, that somebody's mom, that somebody's brother or sister, these are real people. If you act and engage, the feelings will come. If you wait on the feelings, more than likely, you will never serve the poor or anybody else for that matter. You are more likely to act yourself into a feeling than you are to feel yourself into an action. Along the same lines, regarding this idea of spiritual hunger, listen to what the Apostle James wrote, James 4, verse 8. Come close to God, and he will come close to you. Wash your hands, purify yourselves, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. Let there be tears for what you've done. Let there be sorrow and deep grief. Let there be sadness instead of laughter and gloom instead of joy. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up in honor. In other words, if you've lost your spiritual passion, if you've lost your heart and hunger for God, humble yourself. Grieve the loss. Be aware of the sinfulness that separates you and the spiritual indifference that's come into your heart. Quit shrugging it off as if it's no big deal and repent of the sin. Repent of the divided loyalties. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Notice what he's telling us to do. Take action. Come close to God and then God will come close to you. Draw near to God and then God will draw near to you. What do you do when you don't desire God like you should? You need to ask God for your passion back. You need to ask for the desire. And secondly, you got to act. You have to take action. Since Jesus and so many biblical authors used physical hunger and physical thirst as a metaphor for spiritual longing and desire, I want us to just think that through for a minute and consider practical action steps we can take to increase our spiritual appetite. So thinking about physical hunger for a minute, if you were just trying to increase your craving for physical food, your physical hunger, there are certain things you can do, a lot, but I'm focusing on four of those things that you could do today just to get more physically hungry. If you just wanted to be more physically hungry, you could exercise, that would increase your appetite. You could get where you smell food, that would increase your cravings. You could get around other hungry people, and then you could cut out the junk food. Okay. Now I want you to think about those four things. Use that as a metaphor to think about becoming spiritually hungry. If you want to build a spiritual appetite, you need to exercise. You need to work up an appetite by serving somebody. Get outside of yourself. Let God use you to make a difference in somebody else's life. There is no greater reward, no greater feeling than knowing God has used you to make a difference in somebody else's life. Whether that's you in a divine appointment, ministering to somebody throughout your week, somebody God puts in your path, or serving on a ministry team on the church in the weekends, there is no greater feeling than knowing God used me to help make a difference in somebody else's life. And when you see that and you know that, there's something about that wants you want to do more. You get hungry. You develop a craving. It makes you hungry for more. You got to exercise. You got to work up an appetite by serving somebody. Get where you can smell food. I can't tell you how many times I've been somewhere and had no plans on eating in that area at all, no cravings whatsoever, and whether I'm driving down the road and smelled a barbecue pit or I'm walking through a mall or I'm in an open air area and I just smell a certain kind of food, nowhere was it on my radar to eat that kind of food, but the moment I smelled it, I knew that's what I wanted to eat that day. The fragrance of the food unlocked cravings inside of me, and it increased my hunger. If you're not spiritually hungry and you've lost your spiritual passion, let me teach you a little song we learned as kids. It goes like this. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. For the Father up above is looking down in love. So be careful, little eyes, what you see. And the song goes on and it changes the first line up a little bit. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. Oh, be careful, little tongue, what you say. Oh, be careful, little hands, what you do. Oh, be careful, little feet, where you go. For the Father up above is looking down in love. So be careful, little eyes, ears, feet, tongue. Be careful what you do. Here's the point. Be careful what environments you're placing yourself in. Because everything you expose yourself to is unlocking cravings on the inside of your heart. And if you want spiritual cravings, you have to get where you can smell spiritual food. You need to be in places where His presence is so thick you can feel it, where your heart is stirred by what God is doing in that environment and in that place. If you want to get hungry, you got to get where you can smell food. And if you do that, it usually means you're going to automatically do the next thing. You got to get where you can be around other hungry people. Why? Because hunger is contagious. Cravings are contagious. I can't tell you how many times this scenario repeats itself. Okay, it'd be about 10 o'clock in the office, and somebody will come in like from a weekend, and they'll start telling everybody in the office in the hallway about this new place they found to eat. And they'll start describing this dish in detail. I mean, just delightfully, this incredible dish. And usually the closer to lunch the conversation happens, the more people's mouths start watering. And it always happens. If they're really excited about what they had and if they describe it really well, we all end up going there for lunch. Why? Because cravings are contagious. Hunger is contagious. And spiritual hunger is more contagious than physical hunger. If you want your spiritual passions reignited, you need to get around people who are red hot for Jesus. People who live holy, who worship fervently, who pray with passion, who pursue God relentlessly, because faith is contagious. Laughter and joy is contagious. Hope is contagious. And spiritual passion is contagious. The environment you place yourself in and the people you are hanging around with have a lot to do with your spiritual hunger or lack thereof. Be careful, little feet, where you go. Exercise. Get where you can smell food. Get around other hungry people. And four, cut out the junk food. Most kids get in trouble if they get caught sneaking a candy bar right before dinner. Why? Because if we get full on junk food and worthless fillers, we won't have any appetite for the meal, the main course. But that's exactly why so many of us are not spiritually hungry. Either our lives are so full because of our busyness that we have no margin for God, or we have filled our lives with so many worthless fillers that we have numbed ourselves to the things of God. I can't tell you how many people over the years have told me, I don't have time to go to church, I don't have time to pray, I don't have time to read my Bible. And yet some of those same people will waste 15 minutes at a time, multiple times in the same day, mindlessly scrolling through reels on social media. And I am not just talking about teenagers and young adults. You would be shocked at how many senior adults I've seen glued to their phones on social media lately. It's not a young adult problem. It is a problem. If it's not your phone, then add up the time you just spent streaming the last series and then say you don't have time. But maybe for you it's not TV or technology. It may be something else. Because every single one of us have our own junk foods or our own worthless fillers that are stuffing our lives, filling our time, and curbing our spiritual hunger pains. But what if for a season, just a season, not forever, just a season, you committed to identify the worthless fillers in your life that are competing with God for your attention, and you made a deliberate choice to lay those things aside to make room in your life for the Spirit of God to move in your heart so God could reignite your spiritual passion. That's exactly why we do a 21-day prayer and fasting season at the beginning of every year. Collectively, as a church family, we lay aside the things that compete with God for our attention. So in the next 21 days, beginning tomorrow, number one, we're going to ask God to give us our spiritual passion back, to create spiritual desire and reawaken our spiritual affection. And number two, we're going to act. We're going to come close to God. We're going to draw near to God at the beginning of the year so he will draw near to us. And we're going to do that by committing to be in the house of God every Sunday. We're going to start the year right. We're going to engage his word daily. We're going to spend time in private prayer. But we're also going to show up in three special Wednesday night prayer and worship services that get us in the room with other spiritually hungry people where we can smell spiritual food. And then we're going to fast. For those of you that didn't grow up in a church or didn't grow up in a church that highlighted the spiritual discipline of fasting, it's probably the most significant step you can take to ignite spiritual hunger. And if you didn't grow up this way, this isn't in my notes, this is just a little side thing here. Let me just say this. In the Sermon on the Mount, when Jesus is describing what it means to follow him, he does that very clearly in Matthew 5 and in Matthew 6. In Matthew 6, he's given some basics of what it means to follow Jesus, and he says this, when you pray, and he teaches about prayer. And then at the bottom of that chapter, he says, when you give, and he teaches about giving. In the middle of those two, he says, when you fast, and he teaches about how we should fast. So in Jesus' mind, it was just an assumption as much as praying and giving and being generous. Fasting was just an assumed part, like giving, like praying, of being a follower of Jesus. It's just a normal part of the spiritual discipline of being a follower of Jesus. When I'm fasting, it empties me of me, and it fills me with more of him. And I learn what John the Baptist said: when I'm fasting, I must decrease so that he can increase. And when my belly, literally when I'm fasting for extended periods of time and my stomach starts to growl and I have these yearnings for physical food, when I feel those hunger pains, I use those hunger pains as an alarm to pray. Every time I feel it, I pray. Every time I sense that hunger, I pray. As my physical body longs for food, Father, would you let my soul crave you even more? All fasting in the Bible has to do with food. Most of the time it's foregoing food, but in a case like with Daniel, it was adjusting his diet. That's why a limited diet is often called a Daniel fast, when people adjust the intake of their food on a fast. All of those things are done so that we can spend time with God and focus on our desperate need for him. So it doesn't matter if you fast a meal or an entire day or multiple days. If you don't use that time to pray and meet with God, it's not really a fast. It's a starvation diet. And starvation diets don't ignite spiritual hunger, but fasting combined with prayer and worship and scripture does ignite spiritual hunger. Over the next 21 days, some people in our church will fast food the entire 21 days. And if you've never been around this and you think that's impossible, it's not. Those kinds of fasts are practiced around the world in Christian circles regularly, 21 days, even 40 days, by people who are desperate for God and desperate for the Spirit of God to move in our world. Some people will fast a certain meal every day during the 21 days. Some people will fast Wednesday or Wednesday and Thursday every week during the three-week fast. Don't try to do what somebody else does. Start where you are. Do what you feel the Holy Spirit prompting you to do. Maybe, just maybe, you've never done this before. Maybe for the first time ever, you decide, I'm going to fast lunch. And you get a Bible or your phone and you read the scripture and you go sit in the car in the parking lot at work when you would normally be eating at work or going out to lunch. And you sit in the parking lot in your car listening to worship music. You pray, you read the scripture, and you dedicate that moment to God. I can't tell you if that was happening all over the Dallas-Fort Worth area with people seeking God that way, how much transformation would happen in us and would happen in our environments. Here's the promise. For he satisfies the longing soul, and the hungry soul he fills with good things. If you want to reawaken your spiritual affections, take action. And fasting is one of the most effective actions you can take. If you have health reasons, or maybe you're so new to following Jesus that fasting food seems like a drastic step for you, then pick some other filler in your life that is competing with God for your attention. And set that aside for the next 21 days. Social media, sports radio, the news. Some of you just be in a better move. You quit watching the news for the next 21 days. TV, whatever it is that's occupying your emotional space, your time space, just commit in the next 21 days. I'm going to set aside that in my life. I'm going to give it up, and I'm going to create margin in my life, and then I'm going to ask God to fill that margin in my life, that empty space I've created. God, come fill that with holy things, good things, sacred things, God things. And let me invite you together with us during this fast on these three Wednesday nights here in the sanctuary of our Sachse campus. For those of you that are other campuses, we're all going to come together as a campus family at 7 p.m. on Wednesday nights right here for special times of prayer and worship. There will be childcare here up to age 5, and our youth service will continue to happen in Wiley, but the way the services are staggered, we're only going to be in here about an hour, 7 to 8. You can drop your kids off at youth, and they don't end till 8:30. You'll have plenty of time to get back and get them. They will be meeting at our Wiley campus. And then all of this is going to culminate. The fast ends on January 28. We're going to have this massive night of worship where God is just going to incredibly meet with us in a profound way to cap off that fast. Get where you can smell food and get around other hungry people. It's not only going to be spiritually refreshing for you, but these 21 days are going to set a tone, a pattern of prayer and fasting. It's going to be the first fruits that invite God into the remainder of our year. I've been telling you for the last few weeks that we're committing 2024 to study and learn more about the person and work of the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to talk to you a little bit next week why. Why would we commit off and on all year to lean in and study and learn more about what the Scripture says about the person and work of the Holy Spirit? I'm going to tell you why next week, but here are two things that I'm praying happens during this fast and happens during the next year as we lean into prayer, we lean into the work of the Holy Spirit. I'm praying this over you, that you become the you God destined you to be, and that you are empowered by the Spirit to love people when they least expect it and they least deserve it. If the presence of the Spirit could so come up on us and flow out of us that we all are transformed into the people that God destined us to be, and that we are so empowered by the Spirit of God that we can love people when they least expect it and they least deserve it. Do you know how that would change our marriages? Do you know how it would change our parenting? Do you know that would change our workplaces? How it would change the world that we interact with? That's the New Testament church. If those two things happen to every person in this church, it would change the world. And I believe if we take the next 21 days seriously, when we come to that worship night at the end of this fast, we will be well on our way to those two things beginning in our life. I just looked up at the clock. You guys don't know the notes I write to myself in my notes, but this is what it says right now. Bonus material, if time permits. So I got 4 minutes and 52 seconds. So this is free. You get the bonus material, all right? So, all right, here's the bonus. One more thing you can do. It was important enough. I put it in here and said, if I have time, I need to say this. One more step, action you can take. Foster a gnawing dissatisfaction with the status quo. It doesn't matter if I'm coaching somebody about their finances or their health or other spiritual matters. If they get dissatisfied with their current situation, until they get that point where they're dissatisfied with their current situation, there will never be enough motivation for lasting change. Some of them will start to budget, or they'll start to get more healthy, or they will start to pray and engage, but it starts like a resolution, New Year's thing, and it stops and it doesn't last. The only time there is motivation for lasting change is when I am so dissatisfied with the present that I'm willing to endure the discomfort for the change to happen. Regardless if it has to do with budgeting or dieting or exercising or spiritual devotion, no one changes their life until the pain of the current situation is significant enough to motivate them. And sadly, often, too often, it takes a tragedy or a deep loss for someone to be discomforted enough to be willing to change. It has been said this way: change happens when the pain of staying the same is greater than the pain of change. You will never experience God at deeper levels and develop a craving for more until you become dissatisfied with where you are in Him now. Jesus didn't sacrifice his life on a cross and then go on to defeat death and the grave for all of us to come sit in a church chair this morning and sit, soak, and sour. There is more to following Jesus than a weekend trip to church on Sundays. And many of us are missing out on the greatest adventure of our lives because we have become content and comfortable with the status quo. If we want God to reignite our spiritual passions, we have to foster a gnawing dissatisfaction with the status quo. We have to become uncomfortable in a healthy way with where we are right now. Because here's the promise of the scripture. We read it over and over again. If we can become hungry, he will make us holy. If we can become spiritually hungry, God will make us holy. He'll fill that space with his holiness, his righteousness, his goodness, his power, his spirit. I want to pray over you today, and I want to kick off this year with a special moment of prayer together and open these altars for a time for you to be prayed for, to have miracles that happen in your own lives. So I'm going to ask all of our campus family, if you would stand here, Saxie, Wiley, Garland, all over, if you would stand to your feet today, and if our prayer teams at those locations would make themselves available to serve this body. I think it would be a shame for us to sing the songs we sang in worship today, that he is more than able and we can trust in God because he answers, and then not create the space for that to happen today. I have this incredible expectancy of what God's going to do in me and us over the next couple weeks, 3 weeks. And I just believe God can do the impossible in prayer moments like this. And you know what the greatest miracle? The greatest miracle of all is when somebody says, I choose Jesus. And maybe you're in this room today and you've kind of been on the fence spiritually and you're like, you know what? I'm going to act. I know what I need to do and I've been kind of waiting on that feeling, but I'm going to act. I'm going to take a step of faith today and I'm going to give him everything. I'm pushing all the chips to the center of the table and I'm going all in. January the 7th is going to be my day. You can pray that prayer of surrender right where you are, or it'd be the greatest honor of our lives for our prayer team to pray it with you today. Whatever your miracle is, your need is, we believe God can do the impossible today. Father, I just pause. And I ask you to move mightily in the hearts of our people today. God, would you let this not just be another January the 7th, another first Sunday of the year, but would you let something shift in our hearts and something shift in the heavenlies that would make the 103rd year of this church's history, or whatever year it is for these people that serve you, how long they've served you, regardless if they're brand new or it's been decades, would you make this a significant year in our growth and development? Help us become the people that you've destined us to be. And then God, would you so empower us with your spirit that we can love people when they expect it least and they deserve it the most. God, I pray, Lord, that you would come upon us as your people, create in us a new spiritual hunger, ignite our spiritual passions. Would you bless them and keep them? Would you make your face shine down upon them? Would you be gracious to them? Would you turn your countenance their direction today, Lord? Look their way and grant them peace. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. These altars are open. God bless you.